Hey everybody, welcome to The Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 442, Power Rangers Wild Force, episode 24. It's a lot of twos and fours in there.
Yeah.
Reinforcements from the Future, part one.
It aired July 27th, 2002, written by Amit Bahamik? Baumik? I have no idea how to say this last name. I hope one of those is correct. Directed by Koichi Sakamoto. Y'all, I've seen these episodes. It's been a while, but I've seen these episodes, and I'm very excited about them. Because if you haven't guessed from the title, our kids are back.
Kids are back in town.
Kids back in town. Wow. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back. We talk about it. You can follow along if you're on Netflix or the DVDs, and you should, because the Time Force, they're going to be back. All your faves. You like them.
We're back. A Time Force story.
I think you might have just named these episodes. We'll see. I feel like we already have several We're Backs, a blank for titles, so maybe not. Anyway, Josh, we're going to go watch that right now, but I do have a question for you.
Okay.
What time is it?
Time Force!
We're back, and we just watched Reinforcements from the Future, part one. And y'all, I forgot how nice it was to have everybody who could act.
It's with the exception of Taylor, who I think fits in with the Time Force team.
Yeah, she can hang.
No one else really does. And we'll get to it in the episode, but it is jarring when Shayla tries to talk to them.
Yeah. Even Trip, who I think was the worst of the Time Force as far as acting goes, which is, like, still to say, very good comparatively.
Right. He's like, he's the dumbest straight-A student.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like Daniel Day-Lewis next to some of these dorks. Like, Cole has to be in the same scene as Wes, and that just doesn't seem fair to him or really anybody. But hey, jakeandjosh.com, that's a website. You can go there. You can go listen to old episodes. Probably can't listen to Time Force episodes because those aren't up there yet. Lightspeed probably should go up on there, though, huh? Because that's three seasons ago now.
Yeah, probably. Probably
so,
should.
So that's probably a thing that we should look into. You can also go to our classic feeds, which are updated up through TERP, including the movies. Volume 1 has the two-parter for the MMPR movie, and Classic Volume 2 does have the TERP movie. So those are in there. All the bonuses are still on the website. If you want to listen to our old bonus episodes, you gotta go there. If you want to email us, you can do that at littleidiots.morphinggrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @morphinggrid. We're on Cosmic Crisp Podcasts. We're on Google Play sometimes when they deign it to be so. We're on Stitcher and Podknife and Podbay and Podbaby and Pod Forcements from the Pod Future. That one sucked. That's the worst one I've ever done. That's nothing. That's looking around and being like, what's in my room? A lamp. We're in lamp podcasts. To peel back the curtain, I woke up and then came out here to record a podcast. So still a little sleepy. These morning ones sometimes are much easier than other times. So just what we got to do right now. Go rate us and review us. Don't say that I did a real bad one on this one. maybe keep that to yourself. you can also go to patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help support the show. We got some cool stuff there. We got bonus episodes, Teddy Teen Jailing Fighters from Beverly Hills reviews, which... gosh, we do gotta get some of those out soon. We gotta find some time to do that.
Yeah.
Probably on a Wednesday that you have off.
Seems to be every Wednesday, but we'll see.
We'll see. Okay. it won't be this week or next week at the very least. But sooner than later, we're gonna get a couple more episodes of that out for you. There's gonna be monthly bonus episodes of indeterminate origin. So maybe a gas cast, maybe a Morphinomentary, which we haven't done in a million years. Maybe something else. Who knows? Anything could happen over there on patreon.com/heydickandjosh. Now, this is technically, it's an even-numbered episode, which are normally Friday episodes, but this is going to be a Monday episode because it's the first part of a two-parter. So
you're telling me I should check reviews?
I'm saying you can.
I will. I'm already
I don't think
that.
We have anything new. No, we got no new patrons, no new emails.
No new reviews.
All right, well.
That was easy.
That was pretty easy, I think. Let's just jump in. I'm excited to talk about this episode, which features a lot of good actors.
There's a lot of good actors and fun stuff.
Yeah. Also, when I was taking notes for this, I had to pause like a dozen times. I can't remember the last time I paused this many times watching an episode of Power Rangers, because Wild Force is not as dense as Time Force is. And they got Time Force in, and it densed the episode right up. And I kept having to pause to take notes to catch up because so much happened. And I'm kind of excited about that. So, we start off on Taylor. She's driving in her new bright-ass yellow Pontiac Grand Am looking thing.
It's some kind of a convertible. I want to say it looked like a Mustang, like one of the newer ones.
It was like a Pontiac Grand Prix is what it kind of looked like to me.
Maybe.
Because it was not like a sleek looking car, but it looked newish. So it's bright yellow. She's on the phone, which is dangerous.
She's also a reckless driver.
She's speeding. Yeah. Oh, she's Shell Danielson right now. She is full on Shell Danielson.
Not the writer or director. I can't remember which one of the Power Rangers episodes.
Yeah, no. Not the one that I accidentally named the character after.
She's driving this car like it's an airplane.
Yeah. I mean, look, when you're in the air all the time, it's pretty easy to just, like,
go 700 miles an hour.
Go 700 miles an hour, because no one else is going to be up there. And if there are, you're not going to, like, they're not going to sneak up on you. You're going to have radar. But when you're on the ground, if you're going, like, 70 in a 30 zone, which it seems like she's doing, you're going to get pulled over by the cops.
It's
so she
definitely
gets pulled over.
Yeah, it's definitely a residential neighborhood. And she's like... She's on the phone with Alyssa. She's like, oh, man, I can't wait to show you my hot new ride.
My new car rules. It goes so fast. And then bloop, bloop, bloop.
There's this super weird shot because she's on the phone with Alyssa. And she's like, oh, man, this car is so great. And then we see, like, the cop pull out. And it cuts back to Taylor in the driver's seat. She's not talking. She's just like, I'm driving my cool car. Like,
she's just stoked about having a car again.
She's got this big goofy smile on her face.
And then
the sirens go off.
It's because this is the first time in four episodes she's been allowed to talk on camera. She's just so stoked that she's out of the doghouse now. Because this new guy, Amit, he doesn't seem like he's on the writing staff. He's like new. For the show.
Yeah, nobody told him that Taylor was in the doghouse.
Yeah, so he just gave Taylor a lot of great stuff to do in this episode. And you know what? God bless. But she gets pulled over. And it's an SUV, which is suspicious. And then a guy comes up and he's got like a red rope hanging. We don't see his face. They hide his face, but not the voice.
No, not the voice. He's got the red rope under his armpit. He's got a big red morpher on his left wrist.
It could be anybody. And he's like, excuse me, you know how fast you were going? And she's like, no. And he's like, well, here's a speeding ticket. And then he walks back to the SUV. And he gets in, and it's Eric, and Wes is also in there. And Eric's been demoted, because Wes has the red hat on, but but he does still have the red rope, so he's, like, second in command.
Yeah.
I do have a question about this.
Okay.
How close is Turtle Cove to Silver Hills?
Well, Silver Hills is San Francisco, we decided, right?
Yeah.
What is Turtle Cove? Is this, San Diego? Is that...
Because Mariner Bay was San Diego.
Right.
I feel like Turtle Cove is like Seattle. Or maybe Portland.
Maybe.
Which is still 500 miles away.
I do not get a California vibe from Turtle Cove.
No, not at all.
But if the Silver Guardians are here.
Then they're pretty close. So I guess, like, don't worry about it. Portland is right next to San Francisco in this universe. It's fine.
Yeah. Maybe it is in California. Maybe it's, like, Sacramento or something.
You know, maybe. I don't know. It really doesn't feel like California, which is what I kind of love about it.
I'm running out of California towns I know.
Santa Barbara.
Pasadena.
Pasadena. That's right outside L.A. That's basically, like, an L.A. suburb.
Venice?
Venice is, like, on the other side of L.A. Venice is all within the L.A. Sphere of influence.
Okay.
Burbank, North Hollywood, regular style Hollywood, Silver Hills, or Silver Lake. Silver Hills is a Power Ranger town.
Silver Lake is in Athol, Massachusetts.
You're not tricking anybody.
But anyway.
Anyways, yeah. So there, I guess it's close enough to that the private police force, the Silver Guardians, which I have some moral issues with, can pull over Taylor for speeding. So maybe she went and bought a car in Silver Hills.
Is Turtle Bay in Silver Hills? Because they shouldn't have the jurisdiction to do that outside of... Because they are the Kilver Guardians, not the Turtle Guardians.
They're not the Turtle Guardians. No, that's the Power Rangers.
Anyway, Eric gets into the car. Wes is like, did you give her a ticket? And he's like, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. She seemed like trouble. And Wes is like, just your type. Setting up. He bumps the ball for this episode to just absolutely spike it. We cut from there to nighttime and three weird looking orgs with a lot of stray horns float down from the aether.
I did not even think for one second like these were orgs. I was like, oh, these are just bug monsters.
Yeah, they look. I wrote down mutants. Because they look more mutant-y than...
Oh, they're the Big Bad Beetle Orgs.
Season 3 of Big Bad Beetle Orgs. This is what all the bad guys were going to look like. They just, like, wreck some cars for no reason. It's literally just to show off to the cameras.
It's in a parking garage, so they're just, like, throwing cars around.
It's so weird. Toxica and Jindrak come around a corner, and her horn's glowing. She's like, these are going to be some wicked powerful orgs, because... And he's like, yeah, I've never seen your horn glow like that before. I don't think I've ever seen her horn glow at
Period.
All before.
That's
but,
it.
You know? Sure. So they go up to them and they're like, hey, guess what? We're in charge because we're Duke Orgs. You work for us now. And then they talk and it sounds like they're talking backwards. And she's like, what was that? What did they say? What was that? And Jinder is like, oh, I got this.
Yeah, he's like, they said that they are going to be completely subservient to us, and they're going to serve us as our minions or whatever. And then smash cut to them being thrown over the side of the parking garage.
Then they get thrown out of the park, like off a ledge. There's a shot of Toxica just like kind of like doing that like 4 inches from the ground, like, oh, fall.
Yeah.
And then the Jindrax gets thrown off of an actual high place, lands on a box, and then tumbles off of it.
He bounced off that thing so hard. It was like when Mankind got thrown off the Hell in the Cell.
By God.
Jindrax is broken in half. My favorite call in that match is after he falls through the top of the cell and lands in the ring, JR's just like, that's it, he's dead.
Yeah, because a steel chair fell down on his face, too. Everyone forgets that there's still a match after he gets thrown off of the Hell in the Cell.
He gets thrown off of the Hell in the Cell, climbs back up with a dislocated shoulder, gets thrown through the Hell in a Cell, and a chair lands on his face, and then there's a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
And he also gets chokeslammed onto thumbtacks.
He starts the chair hit him in the face so hard that it knocked his tooth out, and people thought it went up through his nose, but it just, like, bounced up into his nose from the outside.
Yeah.
And then they wrestled the match, and then this year at Hell in a Cell, there was ref stoppage because Seth Rollins brought a couple chairs into the ring.
And a sledgehammer. Look, it's different times.
WWE's bullshit now, and I hate it.
They need to stop trying to sell these matches as ultra violent because we remember what they used to be.
Because you can go onto the website that they promote all the time and watch the match for $10 a month. Bullshit. Anyway, before I get lost in this terrible maze of thinking about how bad WWE is. They climb back up as the three are walking away, and they have this weird, like, crystal thing. It's like a crystal with, like, a handle on it and, like, a little dish. It's clearly some sort of dowsing item. And Jinder Jackson and Toxic go poke their head up, and Toxic is like, this is, they're supposed to, we're the Duke Orcs. We got one horn. They're supposed to listen to us. And Jinder Jackson's like, well, they got, like, way too many horns. So what's that mean?
Yeah, he's like, what are the rules on that? And she's just like, I don't know.
And then he falls off, and she's like, oh, ooh, ooh, you okay?
Then he falls through the top of the cell.
And then they have a match. So then we cut from there to the new orgs just destroying the town. Silver Guardian show up. And this is where jurisdiction and geography is going to get a little weird. So all 500 Silver Guardians show up, and they're like, stop or we're going to shoot you. And they don't. So they shoot them, and it does nothing. And all of the other ones get knocked down except for Wes and Eric. And they morph because 100 of their closest co-workers just got their asses whipped. But I like that they can still morph. A lot of times there's got to be like a thing that they got to do something in order to be able to morph now. Like they got to go steal their morpher back or like hack the morphing grid or something.
I can't remember the end of Time Force, but I am assuming that Wes just kept the morpher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wes just kept his. Eric was injured and gave his to Wes, but
Wes gave
then
it back.
He just gave it back when he was done. So, yeah. So then they fight. There's no music, but this fight is, like, really awesome.
It's pretty good. And again, there's no music because the Rangers are getting their butts kicked in this fight.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of, like them doing, like, Time Force stunts. Like one of them shoots, like, a blast and, like, Wes, like, spiral rotate dodges around it and then gets kicked so hard he hits a boulder with his ass.
Yeah, one of them kicks a boulder at them like a soccer ball. That might be later.
That's later.
That's in the big yeah, the bigger fight.
Yeah, that fight is nuts. This is also when I noticed that I'm pretty sure there's three. So the three orgs, the three new orgs, there's a big boy, we'll call him like Thunder Ron 2.
Sure.
And then there's the big centipede guy who just looks like a big centipede guy. And then there is straight up a Frankenstein's monster with Deviant's head from Lost Galaxy. Like 100% like evil mutant Deviant. Like they just plucked that head on a slightly thicker body.
Yep. And they're all dummy thick. Is that what the kids
say? I think they are all dummy thick. Yes.
Is dummy thick muscles or is dummy thick like more of a sexual
it's
thing.
Just we got a lot of ass. Yeah. I feel like they would count both ways. Especially Thunder Ron 2. Thunder Ronald.
Thunder Ronnie.
Thunder Ronnie. Yeah. And then there's Centipeder and Deviant 2, the sequel to Deviant.
Did you say Centipeder?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, Centipeder. Thunder Ronnie and Centipeder.
That works.
And then Deviant, number two. Because it's just Deviant again. I don't have a cute name for him. It's literally Deviant's head. This other one might be some other people that we've seen before. I didn't look up any like trivia or anything on this episode. I probably should have. Maybe for next time.
Yeah, that's something we never really done a lot of. We did a little bit with the like Alyssa's actress situation. But that was just by chance I happened to come across that.
Yeah, sometimes I'll look up a thing that's like tangentially related and learn some trivia, and then we'll have that for the show. But by and large, that's not our job. That's not what we're here to do. The fight is going poorly, but then the Wild Force Rangers show up with the Falcon Summoner because they got a new toy. They got to just remind you. They don't use it basically at all. Like he sends it, one blast.
Yeah, he uses it to shoot the monsters from off screen, and we like barely see him holding it.
Yeah, he comes in, he's like 40 yards away, and he's like, I got it. Kids buy the new toy. And that's it, because then they like turn around and leave because the crystal like goes out. So it's like, nope, not here. This is not where the thing we're looking for is. And then the bad guys just leave.
Yeah, they don't leave because there's too many Power Rangers now. They leave because what they're looking for isn't here.
Yeah,
because
they're like, nope, not it, not the place. So they leave. Wes and Eric demorph, and Taylor's like, they say like, hey, you know, where'd you come from? More Rangers, what? Something like that. And Taylor's like, hey, I know that voice. You're the guy who gave me a ticket. And she demorphs while she's yelling at him. She's like, least you can do is say thank you for saving your asses.
That is so good.
It's amazing.
It's such a good, like, match from the suit to Taylor.
Yeah.
It's almost seamless. It's very good. You can, like, feel the anger through the suit.
Yeah.
And that she has exactly the expression on her face that you think she would.
Yeah. And, like, the voice acting from the suit matches perfectly. So I don't know if she just did the whole scene as, like the whole line is regular Taylor and they just, like, kept that going, which I think is probably the easiest thing to do, but the whole thing is perfect. But then it's time for Tay Rick Watch. That's right. These two have palpable chemistry.
It's just thick.
The air is thick with hormones when these two look at each other.
And they're doing it in that way that, like, when you're 8 and you think someone is cute, but you don't know what that means. And so you push them on the playground.
Exactly. You have no idea how to express that or what it means.
You get mad at them because you don't understand the way they make you feel.
it is so good. Eric's like, yeah, hey, how about you just leave fighting the mutants to the big boys? And Taylor's like, I'm going to slit your throat. And then I think it's Alyssa's like, it's somebody else. It's like, those weren't mutants. Those were orgs.
It was Alyssa.
It was Alyssa?
Yeah.
And Wes and Eric both like, orgs? Like, what is orgs? Something else is said. And then Wes is like, we have to go. Thank you for helping us. And he shakes Cole's hand.
He tries to shake Taylor's hand, but she just kind of looks at it. And then Cole, like, swoops in and takes it.
Yeah.
It's a really good, like, blink and you miss it, but Taylor hates Wes by proxy.
Yeah, because it's Eric's friend. So then Wes walks away. Eric lingers for a bit so he can stare at Taylor more and just, ooh, boy, they're babies. It's gonna, someone's leaving this episode pregnant, is all I'm saying.
And then they walk away and Taylor's like, it's a big boy, Taylor, the mutant.
Jerk, who do you think he is?
I'm gonna kick his ass. I'm going to kick his ass, and then I'm going to kiss him.
Then we come back to the Animarium. They're all talking about the new Power Rangers that they met, except for Taylor. She's off to the side, still mad about how hot Eric is. And they're like, oh, yeah, we met new Power Rangers. And Shayla's like, new Power Rangers? What? And on the one hand, I want to be like, Shayla, what? Like, come on. But she's also been asleep for 3,000 years, so, like,
right.
You know.
And I get her... Ancient Guardians were not technically Power Rangers, except for the one time that they called them Ancient Rangers.
Yeah, it's a, you know, where does Zordon factor into all this?
Because
that dude's been
around
for 10,000 years at least.
Right. So 10,000 years ago, Zordon locked, well, I mean, give or take a couple real life years. Give or take like 10 real years.
Yeah.
Zordon locked Rita in a dumpster and yeeted her into space.
Yep.
7,000 years after that, the Animarium ascends.
But was that on Earth where they fought Rita?
Oh, that's true. We don't know.
Because if you'll recall, in the first episode of Power Rangers, she says, time to celebrate coming out of the thing after 10,000 years with our classic celebration technique, destroying the nearest planet. It was all proximity. It wasn't like
That's
revenge
true.
On Earth.
And she was not originally on the moon. She was on like a meteor or a comet.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely looked like they don't really go into it in Power Rangers that it's on like a meteor that passes the Earth every 10,000. Well, in Sentai, it's like 100,000 million years or something like that.
It's like a billion. Yeah. It's a long time.
Yeah.
Like actual dinosaur age.
So if anybody has a timeline of the Power Rangers cosmology, if you could just send that to us, that would be great. I would really appreciate that. Anyway, so they're talking and they're like, oh, you met new Power Rangers. Were they nice? And they're like, yeah. And Taylor's like, no,
I hate them. They're so hot and I hate them.
And I hate them. And then Max, because he's not 15, he's definitely not a 15-year-old, like, ooh. You want to kiss one? And she's like, I'm going to kick your head off. Then we cut to Wes and Eric, and they call Trip on some antennas. They put two antennas, and it makes a TV. So they can still call the future, which is nice.
Yeah. But this seems like the first time that they have.
Yeah.
Maybe they just don't know. It doesn't. because I feel like this is probably like a year after the end of Time Force, maybe less. I don't know what the actual like timeline of Power Rangers is, and
they never
there's
know.
No, there's no official Power Rangers story book to tell us where it splits. Yeah. So, but Trip is like, "Hey guys, good to see you." But he does say it in a way that's like, "I have seen you since I left."
Yeah,
but it's been a minute.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is like, Wes probably doesn't want to call and see Jen knowing that he cannot be with her, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's probably a real bummer for him. So he's like, I'm just going to try to not think about it and not call the future, because that's really easy to do. So Eric's like, or not Erica, Trip's like, there were three fugitives that were on the run that must have escaped. I don't know how they would have ended up in the year 2002, but I guess that must be what happened. And he's like, also, there's something I need to tell you. Jen was on the team sent to get them back, and we haven't heard from her in a few weeks.
Did he say she was on a team? All I heard him say was she was on a special mission to get them, and we haven't heard from her.
Yeah, maybe that's what they said then, and I'm just extrapolating. But yeah, I think it makes more sense that it's just her, and they haven't seen her in a couple weeks, which is a long time. And Wes is like, oh, bummer, and just hangs up on Trip. And he's like, oh, this sucks.
Eric does like put a hand on his shoulder that's like, sucks about your future girlfriend, man.
Yeah, he's like, sorry about this. She's maybe gone and lost in time or something. And then we cut to nighttime, where there's the three orgs are talking backwards, and they a mysterious cloaked figure, Dulcea, maybe, who knows, holds out this little thing. And it translates, and they're like, we will destroy the place with evilness, or whatever they say.
Yeah, she has a yak back that can play in reverse, so she records them and plays it back.
She does. She just yak backs them, yeah. And then they like look over, and she like dips, and they go to like destroy the boxes that she was behind, but she's not there anymore, and they go back to talking backwards, because we can't translate, because we don't have a yak back. And then she's like on a nearby roof and like sneaks away. And we cut from there to Taylor somewhere, like just getting into her car. Like, I know it's not her job because she doesn't have one of those.
Yeah, maybe she went to the doctor. I don't know. It maybe feels like a doctor's office parking lot.
It seems like a Massachusetts doctor office parking lot for sure. And so they pull up, and she's like, don't you have anything better to do to give me more tickets? And they're like, no, that's not why we're here. We need your help. And she's like, okay, for what? And he's like, because we need to pool our resources and knowledge to figure out what to do about these mutants. And she's like, well, first of all, they're not mutants. But if you're serious about fighting the orgs, then yeah, we can help. And we cut from there to the Animarium. There's this weird transition where it's like, whew, because like we can't show them going there, but we have to be like, they made it.
Yeah,
don't worry.
It's weird because when they get there, Wes and Eric don't act like they just magically appeared in a place.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, according to like the official like Power Rangers visual history or whatever, does not include a timeline. But according to that, it's like the way they get back and forth from the Animarium is suspension of disbelief.
It's like, it's vague magic.
They get, just don't worry about it.
A wizard did it.
So they get up there, and Eagle flies overhead, and she's like, oh, that's just my giant eagle sword. Probably not, you've never seen anything like that. And she like kind of walks forward to go meet the rest of them. And Eric's like, it's a big eagle, who cares? And then like Wes is like, ah, come on. And then as they're walking away, he's like, you should see my Q-Rex. And I think she would love to see your Q-Rex, Eric, actually.
Wink. What do you think she was doing at the doctor?
Yeah.
She's like, excuse me, I met a hot boy.
Yeah, I'm going to need to make sure everything's in check, okay? This is going to be getting a lot of use over the next two episodes, let me tell you. Then they meet Shayla, and oh boy, howdy. If you've ever wondered what it would be like if, you know, who won Best Actor this year?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea. I can't name any good actors at the moment except for Sarah Michelle Gellar. Imagine Sarah Michelle Gellar was like, I'm going to be in your high school play. And then these high schoolers, who might, some of them might be fine, but none of them are Sarah Michelle Gellar, has to act opposite Sarah. That's exactly what it's like watching Wes and Eric have to talk to Princess Shayla, who is not good at it.
She's terrible. I hate Princess Shayla so much.
Yeah. She's not my favorite, we can say. So then Trip beeps them, so they put their little antennas down, and Think pops up. He's like, hey guys, oh, you have company. Cool. Telling everybody about our future technology.
I'm going to just talk about this Power Rangers business in front of these people who I don't know are Power Rangers at all.
I mean, Trip's smart. I'm sure he saw that they were all color coordinated and were like, all right. I think I get it.
Oh, they all have the same vest on. I know what that means.
Yeah. I can figure that out. And he's like, all right, here's what's going on. They're mutants and they're orgs. They're mute orgs. We don't know how or why this happened, but that's what they are. So they're like crazy powerful.
Well, I tell you how it happened. When a mutant and an org love each other very much.
Just let Taylor and Eric demonstrate for a second. Because they are stealing glances at each other. I don't know if you noticed. They're not paying attention to Trip at all. They're staring at each other. It's great. It's my favorite thing. I'm so happy that she found someone equally as mean as her. I'm sad it wasn't me, but you know, here we are.
I don't think she's mean as much as she's just very stern.
Yeah.
And when she gets mad, she's mean. But other than that, she's just like really to the point. No BS.
Yeah.
Should be
They're
the
made for each other.
She's mad, maybe, because she should be the leader. So she's a little mean to Cole. But sometimes,
you know what?
But sometimes she's also like, we need to listen to Cole because Cole knows what the best idea is.
Because someone told me to say this. but also, who would know better about being usurped from his position of power than Eric? Because he's been demoted.
This is
because of nepotism.
This is their destiny. Hallmark movie I want to see.
Right? Time displaced lovers. Just kidding. Neither of them are time travelers.
Let me tell you, I now have a subscription to Hallmark Movies Now.
Ooh, is it? How much is that?
Like $6 a month?
That's not a lot.
Or you can get it. You can pay one yearly lump. That averages out to like $4.99, I think.
Okay. I wonder if I can go on Hallmark.com with my parents' DirecTV login.
Probably.
And just watch movies that way.
I don't know if it would have all of them like Hallmark Movies Now does.
I know. I just want to watch Love, Fallen Order, the new Aaron Cahill Hallmark movie, because, boy, can I tell you that is an impossible title. I have no idea what they're trying to go for with that.
A lot of them are like that. There's a lot of them that are just like, this is Christmas. Like, this is like Christmas love. Or there's one that's been on twice now. Once when I woke up and once when I was going to bed. It's called Christmas Cookies. And the only time I saw cookies was like right at the end of the movie. And it's the one I am now the most curious about.
So Trip says, here's the thing about this, though. I know somebody who can help.
Eric and Wes share a quick look of like, kind of like uh-oh.
Yeah. And then we go from there to some future cars flying around future times. And then we go to a daycare that Nadira runs, I guess?
She either runs or just volunteers at.
I guess she just hangs out and volunteers at, and she's like, today I'm going to teach you about these gross doodly bopper monsters.
These are called giraffes. 1,000 years ago, there was a Zord that was also a spear.
And his name was Pardolus or something. It's been 1,000 years. The records are unclear. Cop car pulls up. And Katie gets out, and Nadira flips like, Katie, yeah, and runs up and hugs her.
How great is this?
It's amazing.
And then she sees Lucas, and she's super excited about Lucas. And I don't know if the show remembers that they used to date.
I think so, but I feel like Scorpion King 2's own Michael Copan is trying to play it cool.
Yeah, he definitely has a vibe of like, no, I'm kind of still into this, but we're here on business.
Yeah, he's like, yes, I'm wicked here for this, but I am on the clock. So
now,
like,
this is the first outside of the Zordon wave, and not counting Astronema because she was brainwashed / reprogrammed.
Uh huh.
This is the first like rehabilitated bad guy.
Yes,
that's like actually just a good guy now, because she held a baby once and she was like, I love this.
She's like, oh, look, babies rule. I love little children.
Didn't she also get arrested with Rancic, though?
I think Rancic was more arrested.
Right.
She says something about like Time Force pulling some strings so she can like work at a daycare
this
or something.
This is her community service, but she's exactly, like, oh, the yeah. trick is that this is what I wanted anyway.
Yeah, and they're like, well, you're not, like, you just have pink hair, but, like, some people have green hair, so, like, you're not, like, a mutant, so you're fine, because you look normal.
She can grow her fingernails into swords.
Yeah.
She's a little bit of a mutant.
A little bit. So we cut back to the past, and Danny and Max are like, I don't know how this conversation starts, but they're like, are we going to be able to fight these Mutorgs? And they're like, yeah, we got more Power Rangers on our side.
It doesn't start. They just, like, walk off to the side, and they're like, oh, man, I think we're going to get our butts kicked by these mutants. And then Max is like, never give up, you big idiot. And he's like, yeah, never give up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then... And they chest bump so hard that Max gets knocked on his ass.
And is this when Eric says to Taylor, like, you've got weird friends?
Yeah, he's like, some friends you got there. And she's like, yeah, they drive me crazy sometimes. Because, obviously. And he's like, yeah, I used to think that about my friends, too. And then, like, kind of walks away. And she's like, huh?
He's like, yeah, I used to think that about my friends, too. And then, like, hangs on a look on her, like, I can't believe I just said I had friends to you. I can't believe I just used the F word.
And then she's like, he like kind of walks away and she's like, oh, okay.
She's like, oh, he's got friends? Okay. Maybe he's not so bad if he's got
friends. He's capable of human interaction. All right, we're moving. We can get this somewhere.
All he's got to do is forgive that ticket and he's good.
Then we cut to Cole and Wes driving. Wes is not looking at the road, and Cole looks weird in a car.
Well, yeah, because he's got a sleeve on his head and a sleeve on his arm.
He looks like he should not be allowed to be in motor vehicles.
He always looks like a little sweaty.
But Wes is just like, yeah, what's so, we're going to go do the thing. And I'm like, the road, Wes, in front of you, look at it. Christmas sake. We cut from there to the future of this car docking into this side prison, and there's like a computer voice. It's like, please have all your papers ready when you arrive. Like, there's gonna be paper in 1,000 years,
right?
Yeah, right.
Maybe they meant
lucky
like
if we have trees left.
Maybe they meant forms, but like in a to have them on your phone, have them pulled up on your phone and ready to go.
Yeah. Get the QR code for all the stuff you filled out online ready. So Nadira goes in and there's Rancic and he's like, Nadira. And she's like, Daddy. And they run up and they hug. And then Lucas and Katie walk in and there's like this like, hey, how's it going? Cool, cool. Then we cut away from there to the pool squirting because now there's monsters in the quarry. They're just looking around for stuff still. They're not really causing any trouble down here. But then, like, we immediately cut to the Rangers all running down, all five of them. You know who's not here? Merrick.
Merrick. Thank God. I couldn't imagine having him talk to Eric and Wes.
Oh my God.
And plus, Merrick and Eric, that would get all mixed up.
It would be like, like, you ever like have like a 3-year old try to explain a thing they really like to you?
Yeah.
And there's just there's no order. Or structure to their sentences.
And they don't know enough words to say what they mean.
Yeah, so it's just, like, a lot. And then you're there like, uh-huh, uh-huh. I feel like that's what it would be like watching Merrick talk to Eric, for example. There's a bunch of Mutors. Eric's a tough guy about it. He's like, you're going down or something. I forget what he says, but he just says some tough guy line. Then there's a big fight. They split up into sort of pairs. So there's Alyssa and Taylor fight Deviant. I feel like they get knocked out really quick, which is unfortunate. Then Max and Danny go fight Thunder Ronnie. I don't know how a lot of the fight goes. Like, these fights are pretty good. They're like the action is really good, and everything kind of, like, flows very well. All I remember is that he did kick a boulder at them, like a soccer ball, and I'm amazed that they didn't just die.
It was hard. That thing was moving.
Yeah.
And I think they dodged it, but it slammed into the cliffside, like...
Yeah.
Cause a small earthquake, I think.
Right. Then Eric and Wes and Cole fight Centipeder, and he's just like knocking their blasts away. Like, they are not bothered by Power Rangers even a little bit.
No.
So the fight goes on. I think Centipeder like knocks Wes down so hard he demorphs, and he pulls his weird kind of lumpy Soul Calibur sword up, and he goes to kill Wes, but he gets shot. And then we look up on a mountain. Who's there? It's Dulcia. She's back.
Oh my God.
Just kidding. She takes her hood off and it's Jen. But it's like she's been lost in time for 3 years.
It's crazy. It's like Wasteland Raider Jen.
It's awesome.
It kicks ass. She's in like...
Her hair doesn't look great, but the rest of it is awesome.
It doesn't look great, but the intent of it is pretty cool.
Yes.
Because she's got like long hair, but then she has a Zelda braid going over the front of it that acts like a headband.
Yeah, like the whole front is like braided back, and then there is like the Zelda wrap around, and then her hair's still out, and like I like the intent of it. I feel like there could be more volume to it that would make it look better.
Yeah, the problem is they had to bunch it all up in that hood.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. So she shows up, she's got like 12 guns on her, she's badass, she jumps down a mountain and kicks Centipeder, and then pulls out
like a bazooka.
Yeah. It looks like the super shot from Smash Bros. And just lights up Centipeder. And he's like, Jen. And she's like, Wes, we got to go. And she picks him up. And she saves his damsel ass. And they start running.
Yeah, he's like, Jen, how? And she's like, I will explain it to you later when we're not about to all die.
Yeah, I got the drop on them. We're not, like, doing well. Right. And so they run away. The three Mutorgs put their, like, hands or weapons together. And then they do this giant blast of the Power Rangers, but the Power Rangers end up outrunning it. And then we cut from to Master Org.
That giant blast is specifically so they can have a cool explosion behind them while they run away.
Yeah, they don't even do that, like, whoa, like, their backs might be a little warm, but they totally outrun it. We cut from there to Master Org, and that's right, he's horny for power now. Because he senses these Mutorgs, and he's like, the power. And I'm like, bud, pump the brakes. You don't do horny quite as well as anybody else on this show does.
Oh, they're so powerful. And then they just walk in.
Then they walk in, and they have their little crystal thing, and it like beeps, and they're like, this is your destination. You have arrived at your destination.
You have arrived at Gamestop.
Gamestop.
In the Lacaline Mall.
It took us 6 miles away. We drove by no less than 4 GameStops.
Well, it wasn't looking for GameStop. It was looking for Gamestop. There's only one of those.
It's on South Lamar. I feel like we went south of the river.
We absolutely did.
It was so far down there. Why?
There was one down the street. There was one like 3 minutes away.
There's like where we are. I can think of three closer GameStops, including the one in the Lakeline Mall, which is closer than the one on South Lamar that it took us to.
Yep.
So, Garmin's bad, everybody.
It also get on the toll road to get there, even though you could stay on the regular street.
Like, you're on Lamar, and it's like, hey, just quick, hop on a toll road, and you're like, but it's on the road I'm on. And they're like, yeah, but you want to go through the, don't you want to pay to get to Gamestop? We're like, no. This is like 4 days into living in Austin. So we didn't know any better. Anyway, so the Mutorgs are there, and he's like, welcome to the Nexus. So I guess they're either Nexus or they're against us. And then they say in regular frontwards speech, we serve the true master. And then the episode ends.
I'm wondering if that was just because we heard it through Master Org's ears. Or if they were like, we don't have to code our speech anymore because it's just him.
I don't know. Maybe. I always thought they were like, we're speaking future talk, which is backwards.
I thought, because when they were like, they're mutants. No, they're orgs. I thought they were both going to be wrong. And they were going to be some like weird alien. Because they spoke a different language that nobody understood.
Yeah, that would have been nice. I guess maybe we'll find out more next episode.
Yeah.
But Josh, you started. So that means I get to pick the first best, and it is absolutely the palpable electricity between Taylor and Eric.
I'm going to get a little more specific with mine. There's a lot to like in this episode.
Yeah.
This is one of the ones where it's hard to choose a worst.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. I do know that we are only at about 52 minutes recording time, which I thought we would be way over that.
Yeah.
But it's just so fun to talk about that we ran through it.
But I think my best is going to be Taylor demorphing while yelling.
That was awesome.
Like, I was very impressed. Like, watching it, I was like, holy crap, that looked really good.
Yeah. The worst...
Oh, I got one.
Oh, I have one. It's Shayla talking to people who are way better at acting than her.
It's the weird Power Rangers Last Supper starring Shayla. Yeah. I hate it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. MVP, I'm going to say, is Amit, the writer of the episode.
Right. I'm going to give it to Jen.
Okay, also fair.
Because I like this new rogue cop look.
I want more than anything.
No, I guess not rogue cop, but this is also not like a Power Ranger look, which I'm very curious about. She has no pink on at all.
No. Well, I mean, you know, her future costume, her future uniform has no pink on it, right? And right. She's been lost for weeks, plural.
But this is definitely like vigilante.
Yeah, it definitely seems like she got lost in the time stream chasing them. And like, she's been doing this for like a year and everyone else thinks it's only been about a couple weeks because right, time and stuff. But yeah, I'm very interested to see what they say about this. But yeah, I'm giving it to Amit, whose last name, if someone could tell me how to pronounce, I would love.
Yeah, he did a really good job because this episode sets up a lot of stuff for the next episode, in addition to just being good on its own.
This episode ruled by itself, but it also leads into the next part very well.
Yeah.
And I know the next part has a lot of cool stuff in it because these are so the first thing I saw of Wild Force in my adult years after, like, aside from like the three, you know, stray things I saw here and there from when I was a kid or when I watched Forever Red, was this episode like 2 years ago when I finished Time Force and then watched this. So like, I was not attached to anybody except for Taylor immediately for obvious reasons. And I'm glad that the episode also works having seen all the stuff.
Snap. What? I forgot Forever Red is also in this season.
Yeah, Forever Red's this season.
Damn, we're talking about Forever Red this year.
Yeah, man.
That's crazy.
It's going to be dope. I'm stoked. But yeah, Amit just like, as far as I know, this is the first episode of Power Rangers he wrote?
That is not a name that rings any bells for me.
I know the name because I know him as the guy who wrote this episode. And I think he also wrote Forever Red, which calls back to this like fan forum. I don't want to say like conspiracy theory, but like hoax kind of thing where there was like a secret like episode of ZU2 footage that they used or I guess from season two where like Scorpina came back and like dug up Serpentera on the moon or something like that or crashed into the moon or something. And like it was perpetuated by him. And then now he wrote Power Rangers. And because I think he worked some of that into Forever Red.
Oh, so, nice.
I'm very excited about that because I think that's just like a baller move. Like this is like the first time a Power Rangers fan wrote a Power Rangers episode.
And it's like really good.
And it's really good.
You can tell that he like likes
Power Rangers and wants it to be cool. And I just want him to do the whole season now. But
and they had that really forced never give up scene that they made him put in.
They were like, you got to do the never give up. He's like, all right. Tap, 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 tap. There it is. What if I make it fun at the end, though?
They say never give up and chest bump. And then Taylor and Eric flirt a little bit.
Yeah. Boom. A to B to C. Love it. We don't have to rank it because it's part of a two-parter.
Yeah, but I have a pretty good idea.
I've got a sinking suspicion where this boy might end up. But we'll find that out on Friday when we watch Reinforcements from the Future Part 2. And Josh, let me tell you, maybe my favorite character resolution of all time is in that episode because it is buck-ass wild, and I can't wait to talk about it.
Well, I'm very excited. We don't get to watch it for like 5 days, but
no, we get to watch it on Monday. We're going to watch it. Yeah, so that'll be on Friday for all y'all. I hate that I said that.
For every y'all that's listening.
For all the y'alls out there. I don't remember how to end the episode. Oh, we're going to go.
May the power protect you. I. Yeah, that's how you do it. Oh, right. Yeah. We're going to go. That's how we're gonna, that's what we're gonna always go now. Say.
Oh, would you look at the time?